Good evening and welcome to E-Bible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 2 John. Tonight is study number 12, and we'll be reading once again from 2 John verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Since we hear quite a bit about the word antichrist, there have been many doctrines taught, especially today, concerning the end times, where the antichrist, that term plays a major role. And theologians have many ideas about the antichrist. Many think he will be some person who rises up and is against Christ. They look for him as a political ruler of some kind. Some look for him in the church. And just all sorts of ideas are floating around. So I think it would be good for us to examine this word more closely and what the Bible has to say about the Antichrist. Now, first of all, the word itself in the Greek, if we were to pronounce it, would be Antichristos. And so it's very close. Christos is Christ, Antichrist. It's almost a transliteration of the word itself. And so really, we know this is a compound word. That's two words put together. And Christ is the one word. We're very familiar with that word. We know this is pointing to the Lord Jesus as the Messiah. But it's the other word we want to look at a little bit closer in order to more properly understand what this phrase, the Antichrist, actually means. And the Greek word anti is Strong's number 473, and it's translated one time as in the room of. And we find this in Matthew chapter 2. And verse 22, and let me turn there and I'll read this verse. This is where this Greek word by itself, anti, is found, and it says in Matthew 2:22, but when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And that's referring to Joseph. He heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod. And so we can see that this phrase here, in the room of, which is a translation of the little Greek word anti, actually means instead of or in place of. That Archelaus now is reigning instead of his father Herod, for his father Herod. And the Greek word anti is only translated here in the room of. Normally, and most often, it is translated as for, F-O-R, for. We find this translation in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And that is the Greek word anti. Christ, the Son of Man, came to give his life a ransom for many. Now, we tend to think that anti means against or opposed to. And in essence, when we find this word coupled together with Christ, Christos, the Antichrist, it does carry that meaning. But, however, the Greek word anti here, it wouldn't make any sense that Christ came to give his life a ransom against many. Well, no, for many, the translators did a correct job. And what is meant by this? Instead of many, or in the place of many, just as we saw earlier, in the room of his father Herod, or instead of his father. It's a substitution. Christ is the one who died on behalf of his elect. And so he gave his life a ransom instead of many, that great multitude that God saved. Well, we also find in 1 Corinthians 11 that it's translated as four. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 15, the chapter where we read about a head covering, it says, "But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering." Now, it's the second for a covering, that is the Greek word anti. And again, how could we understand that? That a woman who has long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her instead of a covering. And this is why churches and congregations that insist that their women members wear a doily or some sort of physical covering, like a hat, are mistaken. They are incorrect. No, God says that a woman's hair is given her instead of a covering or in place of a covering. There's no need for anything additional like a hat for a woman at all. And again, we see the Greek word anti is more properly translated, not as opposed necessarily, even though that can be implied in some instances, but rather as a substitution instead of or in place of, in the room of. This is a good understanding, a good translation of that word. Now, that really is telling us something, because once again, the word antichrist, we immediately think of someone who is set against Christ in anger and wrath, and we picture Satan, which is correct. And he is opposed to Christ. And all those things are true. But the word itself really carries more of an understanding or more of a meaning that the Antichrist will be that which is instead of Christ or in place of Christ. Let's look at the few places in the Bible where this word antichrist or antichristos is found, and they're all found either in 1 John or in 2 John. We'll turn to 1 John chapter 2 and begin reading in verse 18, where it says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." And I'll stop reading there, and we find Antichrist singular back in verse 18, and also in the plural. There are many Antichrists, and we can learn from this that Satan is identified as the Antichrist. It could be understood to be a name for him, just as the man of sin is a title or a name for him, as the abomination of desolation is a title or a name for Satan. He can be called the Antichrist. So here in 1 John, God is speaking through John to his elect, referred to as the little children, saying, "It is the last time, And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, and this is true, the Bible foretells in its pages in many places that at the end of time, Satan will be raised up and he will take his seat in the temple as the man of sin, or he will stand in the holy place as the abomination of desolation. God will loose him after binding him throughout the church age. He'll be loosed at the end of the church age and set free to wreak havoc in the churches and congregations to bring about their spiritual destruction as God begins the judgment on the house of God. And all this has happened. It's already done and finished. And Satan has already experienced that period of time and now actually has been deposed, put down from that rule. And as he has come under the judgment of God when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. So you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. And who are these many Antichrists? Verse 19 explains, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. This is speaking of those that had identification with the gospel. They heard the truth of the gospel and they left that truth. They departed from it and changed the truth of the gospel, the grace of God, into another gospel. They changed the teaching of the Bible into their own teaching. And instead of the doctrine of Christ, they developed the doctrine of men, their own selves or others. And these are the Antichrist, plural. And again, now don't think of some scary image that theologians want to paint of the Antichrist and those that would follow him, Antichrists. But just consider the meaning of the word. Anti, instead of, or in the place of, Christ. And Christ is sometimes used in the Bible as a synonym for the gospel itself or for the truth of the Word of God. And therefore, there are many Antichrists, even in that time of the first century when the Bible was still being written. And certainly, there are many Antichrists today at the end of time when the conclusion of everything the Bible has written about is taking place. The Antichrists are those that have developed gospels and teachings that are contrary to what Jesus himself taught. And these teachings, though, are set up in the place of Christ. They are portrayed and pictured by the churches and congregations as being the true word of God. This is Christ. Just as Israel set up the golden calf and said, "This is your God, O Israel, that delivered you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Well, the church sets up its savior, its deliverer, its idol, another kind of a gospel. It does this by adding to the Word of God, subtracting from the Word of God, perverting the Word of God, and changing grace to works. And it just a slight little twinge, a slight little addition, a slight little subtraction to the faithful Word. This is all you have to do to be saved, Israel, or churches and congregation members. This is all you must do. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, with that little statement, they have completely turned about the grace of God, as the true gospel declares that God does all the work and man can do nothing. And they have added the least bit of their own work. True, they're not saying you must keep the whole law. No, just keep one point. Keep the commandment to believe. Well, that's part of the law of God. That's part of God's commandments. And if you're going to keep one point, you had better keep it all. And so it's as the man who picked up just a few sticks. He didn't pick up whole logs. He didn't pick up a whole bunch of wood, just a few little sticks to start his fire on the Sabbath. And God condemned him because he transgressed the Sabbath. He thought that he could do the littlest work on the day of rest, just as God had given that day to teach. When it comes to salvation, you must completely, entirely, and without fail, in every point of the law, rest in Christ and his finished work that he accomplished before the foundation of the world, and do absolutely no work of your own, thinking that you have done anything, trusting that you have done anything, or else you will be condemned and come under the wrath of God. These are the antichrists that are set up and established in every church of the world today. What a sorrowful thing it is. What a tragedy it is for men to live in these days when they turn a corner and there is another church of the Antichrist. And no matter which town they're in, no matter which direction they go in, there is another church of the Antichrist. Oh, who could escape such a thing? Well, God, of course, sent forth his gospel outside of the churches and congregations during the glorious period of the latter rain. And he found his elect. He saved them all. But pity the rest of men. Pity all those within these churches that they are in the church where the man of sin reigned during the 23-year Great Tribulation, and where the image of the beast was set up to be worshipped. And there the man of sin was showing himself that he is God, that he might be worshipped as God. Well, it also says in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, this is another place we find Antichrist, the only other place outside of 2 John in our verse. In 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now, again, this is singular, the spirit of Antichrist, and therefore it is referring to the devil, Satan, the serpent, the dragon. All these names are speaking of that one and same, and the same spirit being who fell, who was created a good angel and fell into sin at the very beginning. He is the devil, and he is known as Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, that which is instead of Christ. And it again says, ye have heard that it should come. And the Bible in many places speaks of the end times. Matthew 24, there'll be many false Christs. There'll be an abomination of desolation in the holy place. Second Thessalonians 2 refers to it in historical parable. Nebuchadnezzar coming against Judea and Jerusalem is referring to the Antichrist who rises in the last days, that at the end of the world when God judges his church. And yet God also says, even now already is it in the world. And with that statement, we have proof positive that the Antichrist cannot be a man, a normal man, born of the flesh. He cannot be someone who would be like Hitler or the Pope or anyone like that. It cannot be an individual because there is no individual that was alive 2,000 years ago about and is alive now. No man, but there is a spirit being, Satan, the fallen angel, who was in existence 2,000 years ago in the first century AD and is presently in existence. He was around in the 20th and the 21st century as he began to rule when God loosed him out of the bottomless pit. That figurative language of Revelation 20 describes Satan's loosing. And where does he go once he's loosed? Well, Revelation 20 says in verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. Satan is loosed, and he's not interested all that much, really, in haunted houses. He's not interested in spooky places of the earth that men share scary stories about. He's interested in Christ. He is the Antichrist. And so he goes after the camp of the saints, the holy city, the beloved city. He goes after the churches and congregations where Christ is found through the Bible, where Christ is spoken of and taught, where the truth is found. He is the Antichrist. And so he enters into the churches, and he doesn't make himself known as a devil all in red with a pitchfork. How does he come? Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, beginning in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Look at this language. Apostles, the angel of light, ministers of righteousness. What if God didn't tell us false apostles and transformed himself into an angel of light and his emissaries as ministers of righteousness? And those in the churches don't let us know that. They don't tell us directly as God does. They don't say, oh, by the way, I'm actually an emissary of Satan who has been transformed into a minister of righteousness. I have no relationship with Christ whatsoever. I have a relationship with the Antichrist. And that's why what I'm going to teach you all is a doctrine instead of the true doctrine of the Bible. It's another kind of a gospel. They don't tell us that because that would be speaking the truth. And they know nothing of the truth. They are convinced that they are true apostles, that they are followers of Christ, that the light of wisdom that they see is the true light, and that they are serving righteousness, and yet they are absolutely deceitful workers, God says, because they still have hearts that are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, and able to fool themselves into thinking they have an upright relationship with God when they're still in their sin, when they have dug a pit in hell, because hell is the grave, and they are causing many others to fall into the same pit. These are the elders and the deacons and the pastors that remain in all churches and congregations of the world today. They are coming looking like the true servants of Christ, because Satan comes as an angel of light. He comes instead of Christ, very close to Christ, but another Christ, another gospel, and a gospel in which there is no salvation, no hope. It is just a horrible tragedy that this has come upon the world of our day and the churches and congregations where Christ cannot be found in any of them.